Hi guys!
I'm Melissa.
And I'm Lizzie.
And we're Sisters Through the Savior. Welcome back. Yeah. If you aren't new to us, or if you are new to us, hi, welcome.
Yeah, we're a faith-based podcast, and we just talk about how we love Jesus, how we're navigating our 20s with Jesus, how we navigated high school with Jesus, just everything Jesus.
Yeah.
So, how was your week?
My week was good. I did start my new job, so that was pretty interesting, and I actually almost fainted. Hilarious.
But I think it was just because it was fresh.
It was a new experience, let's just say that, in a doctor's office, so.
And that's expected. Like, the first time I even watched, like, Grey's Anatomy, I was sick.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I can't watch that stuff.
So, just, I'm telling you, over time, you'll adapt.
Okay, I hope so, because that was really humbling.
It's okay.
I was like, God, I'm not going to pass out. Mm. And as I was feeling that, like, uneasy lightheadedness, I'm like, oh, no. I started saying the Lord's Prayer. I'm like, Lord, I'm not going down right now, not in front of these people.
Yeah.
And I, like, ran to Nina, and she was like, you look unwell. She said I was so pale, no color whatsoever in my face. So she gave me, she made me smell rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
And she gave me, like, little donuts for sugar. And I felt better. But I was like, at least I didn't pass out. The Lord let me get to her.
Yeah. Like, you're protected.
Yeah. How was your week?
I don't even know. Like, what did I do this week? Mm. Oh, I had my first anatomy test. Mm-hmm. And that went really good. And, yeah, but I have kind of struggled this week. So awkward. Like, in my mind, basically. And then it got better. And then last night, I had a moment. So I've just been kind of battling things in my mind, which is, like, weird because I thought I was healed from that. But maybe it's my thorn. I don't know. So, but other than that, my week was good. And God is good. So,
well, that's good. Yeah. Even when life isn't good, God is good.
Amen. And, yeah, he's just carrying me. But I literally went to turn on my worship playlist today. And my entire music library is gone. Like, whole thing, every song.
The more you're being attacked, the more you're going in a good direction.
Yeah, I agree. The one time where I'm really like, because I'm not the type of person usually to be like, oh, the devil this, the devil that, da 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 da. Because I don't know, sometimes I feel like I sound a little cuckoo, and I admit that. But I feel like I was spitting facts one time, and the devil got so mad, and all these people were like hating on what I was saying. But I wasn't saying anything crazy, nothing radical. I wasn't even being cuckoo. And I just think that kind of goes to show, it's like, if you piss him off, he's going to come at you. Whereas if you do something to God, I feel like for the most part, he's a little bit more gracious and, like, will teach you versus condemn you, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So,
for sure.
Speaking of condemnation.
So today, as you can see, we're going to be talking about shame and our past.
Yeah, and how to be set free from shame.
Mm-hmm. Because God does not want you to stay in your shame or in your guilt. Mm-hmm. That is not at all what he wants. And so we're going to be talking about how to be set free from that.
Yeah, do you want to get into kind of, I know we talked about this in our God Hates Sin episode, but just the difference between conviction and kind of learning a lesson versus condemnation and shame and just what comes with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the negative feelings that you feel from any sin or anything, or just shame, or say it was something from the past and, you know, you keep thinking about it now, you are not that same person. Mm-hmm. You are not called to sit in that guilt at all.
I agree. And also just conviction, even though it can feel kind of hard in the moment, it's always taking you somewhere good. Whereas with condemnation, it's going to feel bad in the moment and it will most likely lead you somewhere negative.
Yeah.
And I just know for me, like when I had felt condemned by people, it never made me want to be better. Whereas conviction always like lit that flame in me to be better and to like put that effort forward. So that's another way I feel like you can like find the distinction between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of them is God's voice, the other one is the devil's voice.
Yeah, deciphering between his voice and your own thoughts as well is, it can be hard, but being in his word definitely helps you hear him better.
I just want to read a little verse from Romans, if I could get to it. Okay, so I'm just going to read from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. So it says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit."
I love that.
Yeah. I just think it's very telling. It's kind of like, I always like to say, like, whatever you're struggling with died on the cross 2,000 plus years ago. So I'm not, like, invalidating saying that you're not struggling, but that you aren't meant to carry that struggle. Like, you mm-hmm. can cast your struggles onto him. Like, he died, so you didn't have to struggle.
Yeah.
So in a world where we're almost, not necessarily choosing to struggle, but choosing to sit in our struggle, you got to reframe your narrative
mm-hmm.
and understand that you're not meant to be condemned. You're not meant to be drowning like your Savior walks on water. Why?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Because mm-hmm. the devil will try to make you sit in your shame and in your past. Mm-hmm. And you got to tell him no. Like, I am a new creation in Christ. You are not what you were. You are what he says you are. And you need to keep reminding yourself that and reminding yourself of what God says, so that it will tune out what the enemy's lies and making you focus on your past, because that will keep you behind. Mm-hmm. And God is calling you to do a new thing.
Yeah, so do you kind of want to get into shame? Like, things you've felt in the past?
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of an uncomfortable episode for us.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people will judge us based on the past things that we've done, and they'll like to bring up, oh, well, you know, you used to do this, you used to be like this, you used mm-hmm. to say this, or you used to do this. And so that also can make it really hard to move on from that and to focus on who you are becoming and who God has called you to be.
Yeah.
And for me, I guess just like past sexual shame as well. Like for me, when I used to think that in order to be loved by someone, I had to do this. And
mm-hmm.
God really brought that to my attention later on. But, you know, I still kind of regret having done things, and I wish that I knew. I mean, we always know you're not supposed to, you know, have sex because of so many reasons. But I didn't know the spiritual reason behind that as yeah. well. I just knew, oh, well, you can get pregnant. Or, like, it was never something that I was actually taught from, like, a biblical aspect of yeah. why. It was just like, no, you shouldn't do this. But it was never the necessary reasons on why.
And that just makes you want to go against it.
Yeah, that too, yeah. You know, as a kid, you know, you're going to want to go against what you're being told you're not allowed to do. That's just like a natural human thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really wish that I knew how detrimental it was and how that's so far from the truth, that you don't have to do that in order to be loved, in order to feel loved as well. Yeah. And just, it also sucks because then when you are with your person, you know, you're not,
yeah, you carry it.
Yeah, you carry that. And I have prayed as well that, you know, God would just remove any past spirits or curses or anything from that. And for the most part, I feel like he really has. And I don't really think about it much now, but sometimes, you know, I'll get reminded and it's like, I really wish I didn't do that, but I yeah. also didn't know. So I can't be upset with myself. And especially when Jesus died on the cross, he knew all your past, present, and future sins, and he still was willing to die for you because he wants to spend his eternity with you.
Yeah. So that's why I'm so grateful for him. And just like that he would do that. And then I get, that's another like portal of shame for me, because I still was going against him knowingly. Or unknowingly, like you said.
But he still knew you were going to do that. And he still chose. That is the true definition of love.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that you do not have to give up your beliefs or your purity for someone that God has for you.
Yeah. I feel like I relate with, like, the past shame. And it's something, like, that has been a little bit more recent for me. Obviously, in the beginning, I felt a lot of the shame, but I didn't know, like you said. But it was once I was doing things when I knew, and that's where the shame crept in, which, obviously, the conviction I felt was necessary, but the condemnation almost makes you want to do it more. And my past is very, very rough. Like, I have been with boyfriends. I have been with...
But you're not hurt anymore.
I know. Up, look at my face. I'm like bright red.
I believe in you. I feel like it'll show a vulnerable side of you. And
yeah. And I'm gonna be like very okay.
You could be vague. You
know, yeah. No, yeah. I guess I could.
You got this.
Okay. So basically, I was involved with this girl for like a year. And I just want to, like, start this off by saying that I'm not trying to, like, condemn or shame anyone for their lifestyle. And I'm very careful with this topic because it was something that wasn't meant for me. And I'm, like, very sure of that and my journey, and I know where I'm at. And these feelings I don't get anymore like I did when I was younger. But I understand that that's not the case for everybody, so I don't want to make crazy radical claims right now. I just want to put that out there that I really don't like talking about this in terms of other people. But this relationship I had was so unbelievably sexual, and it's just very odd because that was not who I was at the time. And I had just gotten out this really toxic relationship with my first boyfriend, and I think I was just leaning into what I thought would be better. Because I was like, okay, well, I was with a man, and he lied and cheated, and we were unequal and all these things, so I wonder if I'm with someone who's equal with me, a woman, that it would be better. That's kind of where my mind went to, I guess. And it was just, like, a really bad situation, and she... I'm trying not to air her out. From the get-go... she would use, like, social media to weaponize me sexually, which I know sounds so weird, but just TikToks and a whole Twitter account dedicated to saying things about me, sexual things about me, all these things. From the get-go, it was sex, 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 sex. And at first, I kind of had fallen into that, and looking back, it's really interesting because me now, I would never do something like that with somebody else, male, female, anything. But at the time, it was so normalized and celebrated that I was like, okay, well, I'm only worth my body and my gender. Like, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I was kind of just stuck in this really, like, sexual cycle. And then after her, it was now onto a man. And I was like, okay, well, the woman did this to me and we weren't equal and da 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 da. And she regarded me sexually as a man. So now I need to get with this man. So he sexually regards me as a woman and I need to sleep with him right away. And it just kept going and going and going. And I just found myself caught in this crazy cycle. And it took me probably like 2 to 3 years to figure it out. And I wouldn't say I necessarily feel crazy shame for it, but it still sits with me here and there, and I carry it into the relationship I'm with now because I hate that I couldn't come into it, like, fully pure, I guess you could say, which I'm not saying I'm not, because I understand, like, he purifies you and all these things, but it's natural to feel that guilt, mm-hmm. I guess, and I guess I carry that, and yeah, definitely something I struggle with, but I try not to feel the shame from it, but it's natural to have that mm-hmm. come up, I guess.
Yeah, and of course, the enemy knows the things that will get you, because he'll do things and see how you react to them and how yeah. it makes you feel.
Yeah, I feel like I'm like iffy on it.
No, that was perfect the way you
think. I wasn't too, because no. I don't like to say,
you made the you put it in your perspective, how you were thinking, how you were yeah. feeling. You didn't say anything about, you know, other people.
Loki, no. I want to say that. Okay. But yeah, when I stopped being with this girl, it wasn't even out of like religious guilt. Like some people like to frame it that way. And I understand that that plays a big part in a lot of people's stories in general. But I never felt necessarily religious guilt, I would say. There were so many reasons. Stuff she was saying, just the way the relationship was. And it wasn't something I was seeking. Like I wasn't praying every day. I don't even think I was praying, period. But I wasn't praying every day to get these feelings out of me. It was something that just naturally happened when I kind of took the time to see where my life was going and how I felt, and kind of understood for me personally why God wants me to be with the man I'm with now. Like 2 years later, after like having these realizations and really sitting with myself and figuring out who I am and what I like, because I definitely think at 17, 18, I'm a very different person. 19, 20, mm-hmm. kind of just knowing
yeah.
where I'm at. And I definitely think for me personally, the man I'm with now, we're much more equals than a woman I had been with in the past, even though our genders were equal. That almost made us more unequal, because there wasn't necessarily harmony in our relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. And again, I just want to clarify, I'm not shaming or condemning anyone. I just, for me personally, that's just how it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, I get so nervous sharing the story. I literally... Yeah,
but I'm so proud of her for finally being vulnerable.
Yeah.
Sharing that, because it was not easy.
We could get more vulnerable. So we just have a few verses to go with what we kind of just talked about, because we like to back up what we say with scripture. And again, like, we really do encourage you guys to get in the word and not just take what we're saying and run with it. Like, if you truly don't agree with what we're saying, check the scripture yourself. But we're just gonna read out of Psalm, but we have written down here, we're not going to go too in depth because we're going to do a whole episode on sex before marriage, but just to touch on what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, where he's talking about the type of people that won't enter the kingdom, like adulterers, drunkards, and then in there it's fornicators, which is having sex outside of the marital bond. And we just wanted to highlight that, kind of like what we said. There's a reason that God wants you to wait till marriage, and it's not to trap you, it's not to be a dictator, but it's out of fatherly love, the same way that your father would probably tell you not to yeah. sleep around. It's not to shame you, it's not to make you feel less than yourself, but it's to protect you.
Yeah, and it's not to stop you from having pleasures, like, because mm-hmm. obviously that's a natural human tendency, you know, but it's wrong in the context of outside of marriage, because it is intended for only two people forever, like the same person, not multiple people. And the more people that you are binding yourself with, the harder it is to kind of settle down with someone and be content and, you know, be one with that person, because then you're thinking you have all these past connections or strings, and you know, it's kind of bringing it into this relationship. And that's kind of what I've been praying for God to just remove, because I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally did know, that's when I was like, okay. So even in my relationship now, you know, we're re-waiting, you know, we didn't in the beginning because he was who God spoke to me through with that. And so reweighting is still a thing, and
yeah.
Some people like to not, they like to criticize that for reweighting. Yes. It's, you know, and
shame you for reweighting, and then you're feeling shame that you even did it in the first place, and it's like, yeah, shame from everywhere.
Exactly. But if you're doing it all the time before you're married, then what makes marriage special?
Yeah, I mean, my relationship's the same, except flip it. Like, I think I spoke more to him. And we would have these conversations. And I've had these conversations with people, too, where it's like, well, why? Or, like, I said the same thing, what makes marriage special? And some people, you kind of gotta be careful with what you say and just know that you're gonna go in circles about it. Because some people will say, oh, well, we're dating and we're committed, so it's still special. And marriage is just a paper. And there's so many things. But I truly believe that God has an answer to all of them. And even if it doesn't come to you in the moment, if you genuinely take the time and pray on it and read the scripture, you're not going to come to the conclusion that it's okay to sleep around with whoever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you choose to follow God or not is up to you. You have free will. But just coming from two girls who have, like, lived the opposite life, we really just want you to take the time to think about that before you act on these desires.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It comes from love.
Yeah. Because I always used to use that argument, well, I'm going to be with this person. I'm going to marry this person, so it's okay. And then it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. I've literally thought I was going to marry every guy I've been with. Sorry, it's so funny. I didn't, by the way. Y'all see a ring? No.
Yes.
But there's things that have come with it. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I'm just saying.
But like we said, you know, like, then if you're doing it every day or however, you know, then what makes marriage special? And if you're glorifying God and waiting on your wedding night or whenever, it is going to be 10 times more special.
Yeah.
And you'll be so glad you waited. Like, it makes it so much better.
Yeah, and I one day will speak on the other side of that, hopefully soon. But I always say, this was the argument, or not argument, the point that got me through to one person where they were kind of saying, like, sex is the physical personification of love. And I was like, okay, you could say that. But, oh, but I love the person I'm dating, so I can have sex with them. And I'm like, wait. I feel like sex is more than just the physical personification of love, because in the Bible, it says the two become one flesh. So sex is the joining of two people. And what is marriage? The joining of two people. You share a last name, a bed, a bank account, a future, forever. All of that is, through sex, the physical personification of becoming one. So that's my favorite way to explain it to someone who's a believer, because in the scripture, you can kind of make that argument, but when you're talking to a non-believer, it's definitely harder, I would mm-hmm. say. So yeah. In that term,
yeah,
I couldn't even tell you where to start. I really couldn't.
Yeah.
But also, I guess, just the advice of find Jesus before you find rules.
Very true. I do want to agree with that, because you're not gonna necessarily be able to, if you're just forcing yourself to stop without really understanding the reasons behind it, there's kind of like, it's not gonna work. You can't do it with your own strength. But if yeah. you just chase Jesus, like Lizzie said in a past episode, he will reveal everything to you in time, and he will cleanse you from anything that isn't leading you in the right direction, and he will show you that.
Yeah.
But he just wants you to chase him first and just have a relationship with him. Don't meet religion, don't meet any rules. Literally just chase Jesus and keep your eyes on him, and he will naturally do it with you.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna read Psalm 34 verse 15. So it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. And says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And so, honestly, even if you're dwelling in your shame, or you're thinking about, you know, your past, you are made new in Christ. Mm-hmm. So you are now righteous. So no matter what, the Lord hears you, and he will sit with you in your guilt, the way you are feeling. He will deliver you from that all. And he hears your cries. So you do not ever have to worry. Literally, the daily verse of the day. Hold on. In 1 Peter, verse 5 through 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So whatever you're feeling, God cares for you. And he is willing to chase you and be there for you and listen to everything that you have to say. Any complaints that you have, you go to him. Any concerns, go to him.
When you cry out to God and you're just feeling that shame and the regret and the condemnation, he hears you and he's going to answer that prayer. How he answers it is something we can't tell you because we're not God. But in his way and in the way that's right for you, he's going to help you and heal your broken heart.
Yeah.
And it's also important to understand that you might feel shame for something somebody else doesn't, or the way he heals you is going to look different from somebody else, and that you can't put your relationship with God onto the relationship somebody else has with God and expect the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because everyone's personal convictions are different.
Extremely different.
And everyone's journey is different, so.
Yeah, we had this conversation in a pizza shop in Orlando. Remember? After the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because this kind of segues us. I'm going to bring it up. Okay. But me and Alyssa were eating pizza, and you were having pasta.
This is when we went to see GGB.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was such a fun night.
So, yeah.
She was talking to me about a struggle she was having, and I was kind of saying to her that everyone's convictions are slightly different. Like, yes, there's the word of God, and if it's in there, it's the truth. But the things that aren't in there, or the things that are arguably in there, people go back and forth. That's something that comes down to your own personal conviction. So whereas I may be convicted about something, I don't know, like even something small, like the type of jewelry I wear or the type of music I listen to, you might not have that same level of conviction, and that doesn't make either of us right nor wrong. It's just a personal thing, and that's not to say you might not one day have a conviction about jewelry, but that in this moment, for some reason, God isn't putting that conviction on you, or you're not listening to it.
Yeah,
there are so many ways that can go with it. If you want to get into the pizza stuff, what we talked about,
you're okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So wait, let me not laugh. Sorry. Because I'm going to look like I'm endorsing it.
And
I'm so sorry. Look at me. I'm not even being funny. I'm so I don't even laugh anymore. Genuinely, so I don't understand, like,
it's okay.
It was good. Okay.
It's okay.
Jesus, please. I'm so sorry. You're not mad?
No.
You're scared of me?
No.
Because I'm not laughing.
I'm scared because you're laughing.
You know what I was thinking outside? I was like, I think it's because at the time, I have like a lot of good memories with it, but it was more when I tried to stop that it got really bad. Okay. So we're going to kind of get into something kind of vulnerable that we've been avoiding talking about on here. Mm-hmm. I know like I've hinted at it, but I never really got into it. Specifically because I have family that watches it. Hi, Mom. Hi, Nana. But, Alyssa just got a Snapchat memory from 5 years ago today, if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's actually when we smoked weed for the first time. And we were with our other friend as well. And we were all, like, I think it was all of our first time.
Yeah.
And
so
that
young.
Was the start.
Yeah.
To years of doing it, really. And We've stopped, of course, now, but
I won't even touch it.
Yeah, it's something that it's kind of like, I know if I were to touch it again, I wouldn't want to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
not that it's like, I mean, it is, I think it is kind of addictive, to be honest. Like, I mean, yeah, like, not like the same as like nicotine, that yeah, like kind of
chemically
addiction.
It isn't.
Yeah, but it's kind of just also the oral fixation of it,
yes,
I think is
the
what,
dependency as well.
Yeah,
I think because people categorize it as not addictive is also what makes it dangerous, because you think you can just do it whenever and easily stop, but that is so not the case, and it affects your eating and all these things.
Mm.
But even just, you know, weaning, is that like weaning off of it in a small way and feeling like you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't talk to people.
Yeah. You get kind of dependent on it.
Yeah.
And for a while, I used to say, well, no, I'm not addicted. I could stop at any time. But I didn't want to stop, and that was the problem as well. And I also, like, I was in denial, really. And that was kind of what we were talking about at the pizza.
Yeah.
I was kind of just talking about it, and I was like, going back and forth, and just how I wanted to stop, and how I wasn't feeling the same, like, conviction about it.
Because isn't that when I had stopped by
yeah,
then?
Yeah, you had stopped.
For the second time.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm, it's so easy to fall back into, and I know we had both stopped. I feel like when one of us stops, the other one tends to.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because we started together.
Yeah.
But I remember, this is horrible, I don't know why I'm laughing, when we had both stopped and then we saw each other for the first time in a while and we were like, oh, it's one time, like, it's not gonna hurt.
Yeah.
And that turned into 6 months of nonstop smoking. And I'm not saying, like, marijuana the plant, I'm not gonna make some, like, huge claim and be like, it's wrong, because I know people use it medically.
Mm-hmm.
I know even, like, with cancer patients, especially in edible form, medically it could be something that's really beneficial, but smoking and inhaling anything is not good for your lungs, and people think it just hurts your lungs, but that goes into your bloodstream, like the connection of the body, it's so bad for you. And when you're doing it every single day, it's so harmful. You wake up, it's the first thing you reach for, and even when you think like, oh well, I'm just going to do it in a group setting, and the next thing you know, you're doing it alone with a friend, and then you're doing it every weekend, and then you're doing it every week, and then every morning, before every meal, every afternoon, every night. And when does it stop?
Yeah. Also, like, for me, I used to say, like, it used to be something I would kind of look forward to, like, after a long day at work, mm-hmm, and I would be like, oh, I'm going to go home and, like, just relax and just calm down and, you know, and I feel like instead of doing that, I should have really, that should have been, like, my time to spend with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I kind of used it for the wronger reasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could justify it any way you want, but at the end of the day,
you're called to be of sober mind.
That too, yes. If you're not sober minded, it allows the devil to be able to get in. Even if, you know, you can say any excuse in the book, like, really, at the end of the day, like, the devil wants to keep you comfortable. And I feel like that's where I was. I was very comfortable with doing it.
Me too.
And for me personally, I couldn't, like, comprehend things as well.
Really?
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously everyone's different, so. But I remember in high school, it was during COVID. She would come over every weekend and it would be the same thing.
Yeah.
We would smoke all weekend and eat
sorry
and watch a show.
Yes. Oh,
and that
gosh,
was what that was like
the best.
Yeah, we would listen to music.
Yeah. And I looked forward to it all week.
Yeah, because school sucked. It was online for me. I was online. I was the most depressed I've ever been, and I feel like
me too. I was in the depths of my really toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of the one who got me more into smoking, but at the beginning
kind of introduced it.
Yeah,
because I remember back when we were in skating camp and we were like really young, we were always like, we will never ever, ever touch anything like that. Like, that was, like, a big no-no. And then years later, down the line.
Yeah. I don't know. And for me, like, it just became really bad because I have a hard home life. And then when I left home to a different state, I guess it was comfortable. And I would go through phases. But the biggest struggle for me is when I try to stop. And it was just so hard. And especially for the reasons I was doing it. It wasn't until I did it. Not even that I did it for God, I would say, but that he did it for me. Because when I tried to stop on my own, it never worked. And everyone kind of knew me that way. And I just know, like, thank God I stuck to only weed. I really never got into anything else. I know there were times in my life where I didn't have anything on me and I would, like, drink a bunch, but it was very rare. It wasn't really my substance of choice. But when I tell you it was every day, like, it was every day. I didn't even recognize myself. And there were points in my life where I would only do it at night or, like, take an edible at night. And that was probably my most productive time. But the fact that that is my most productive time speaks volumes. And just, like, I guess tying it back to what we're talking about, like, feeling past shame for doing those things, and not only shame but feeling the consequences of it. Like, I wouldn't say I get temptations anymore, but it affects me. Like, I have friends who can hit a joint once and move on with their day. I cannot do that.
Like, everyone is different, especially with whatever you're struggling with. Okay, so in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm gonna start from verse 17. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And so when, obviously, having, like, one drink isn't necessarily bad, but also some people can't just have one drink.
Yeah.
Because it'll lead to more. And it goes the same with, you know, whatever substance you may be struggling with. But obviously, too much of anything is not good. So there's that. But, because, like, people will try to justify it from that verse.
Yeah, you need to have discernment. Like, know yourself, know what God wants for you, and know what tempts you. I think for me, I know I had watched, this one podcast where the guy was talking about sometimes he gets the temptation to do drugs again, but he knows that it's going to lead him to be lustful and then to drink, and it keeps going. And it made me sit back and think, wow, like, one hit is going to get me back to my gluttony. I'm going to be eating a bunch, and then I'm not going to feel good the next morning, so I'm not going to get up, so I'm going to be lazy, and then that's going to keep going. And it's just like a domino effect. And you need to know that about yourself, like, what not only what is a sin, but what sin leads to other sins and other sins and other sins and other sins.
And when you're not in your sober mind, that's where the devil can get in a little bit and, you know, give you any other thoughts that are not your own. So that's why it's very important to walk in wisdom led by the Spirit and not by culture or what's in, because I feel like now everything like that is super normalized.
But and people will tell you they're struggling. You'll see someone smoking all the time, and this happened to me so many times with people I met, and then I'd get them alone and they would say, I don't like doing this. I don't like how it feels. There's a reason people are always trying to stop. Always. It's just, you got to be careful with the outward appearance versus what's really going on in someone's life. If you're so joyful and happy, why do you need to be high all the time? And I don't mean that in a shameful way. I'm genuinely asking you what goes about it. I get it. You have pain. I have so much physical pain. All my medical issues and all my junk. And even though, yes, sometimes weed would be helpful, it would always fade within, like, an hour or two. And I'd still have these issues. So is it worth it to put a bandage on it that's eventually going to be harmful. Mm-hmm. It's always going to start good. People don't do harmful things just to harm themselves. There's something alluring about it. It starts as a fun night with your friends and it ends with eternal death. It's just not worth it. It's really not.
And I tried to justify it for so long, but I still felt something deep down that I shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. And it got to be so much that I was like, all right, Lord, I need your help because I don't want to stop.
Yeah, same. Oh my gosh. And for me, I don't know if you ever struggled with this. I don't think you've mentioned it, but I would get immense paranoia.
Really?
No. Dude, when I first started smoking, I was fine for a couple years. But after a while, like the fear, I don't know if it was because I was away from home or even sometimes when I was home and the anxiety. And oh my gosh, I had gotten these edibles once that were so bad. Like, I would take the smallest bit, and I had a high tolerance at this point, and the way my heart rate would raise, my whole body would feel so anxious, and the thoughts, and like, just the feeling, I hated even thinking about it. And I always thought it was so weird because I was never the type to get paranoid. I was never the type to get anxious. I used to think people that got panic attacks from weed were weird until it was me. And I kind of had to sit back and think to myself, what's going on? But I would still do it. And that's where the shame came in, because I was actively smoking, taking edibles. I couldn't put it down. Even when I was smoking nicotine, drinking, doing all these things, the shame was crazy because I knew I was hurting myself, and I still felt like I had to do it. Like, I was tied to these things. This defined me. I wasn't me if I wasn't high.
Yeah.
And it followed me. And even though now I don't do it anymore and I've been off it for a while, I still feel the shame from it because I hate that that's who I was. And, like, people that are going to watch this, like, I hate that they're going to know that about me, that I used to be someone who did these things. And then I also hate, I almost feel shameful from the world of, like, people are going to think I'm stupid because I don't do it anymore. So no matter what, I feel like I'm caught in this, like, web of shame.
Yeah. But you know that that is not from God. So being able to remind yourself of that, you know. And, like, for me, honestly, that craving and that desire really hasn't gone away, even though it's been quite a while now for me. But it's just like a daily fighting your flesh and picking up your cross and denying your flesh and what that wants, and just being able to focus on God, that he will deliver it from you. And I pray that this desire goes away. And it's not even the feeling of being high that I think I'm even craving. I think it's just that oral fixation, like, because we were used to it for so long that, you know,
it's routine. I agree, because once I had that crazy paranoia, why would I want to feel that?
Right.
But I wanted to do the thing that made me feel that way. And it was just a cycle. It's vicious.
Vicious.
But anything else we want to get into?
I think
I don't really,
because
I know we talked about this last episode.
I feel, and like, this is already, like, really long.
And then we're gonna do a whole episode on sobriety for sure, and just talk about that. So this was kind of brief. I know it didn't seem brief, but we are gonna get more into these things. We just kind of wanted to share with you guys the things we feel shameful of, so that you know you're not alone in that. We're not some perfect saints coming up here to condemn you.
Not at all. We are very far from. But that's why we, you know, we want to be able to have you guys feel like, you know, you can relate. You don't have to be perfect. You're never gonna be perfect.
And that's why we need a savior.
Exactly.
I need him so much. Like, me without Jesus, pothead, sexual, crazy person, angry, jealous, hateful, lazy, gluttonous, all of it.
Yeah.
And that's just the only reason I can sit here and speak on these things is because of Jesus. Like, he
delivered you.
Yes, he did. And some things I didn't even ask for. Like, I'm so grateful. I really am. That I could even talk about who I used to be because I'm not that person anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember I used to be scared to even admit that I stopped smoking, especially the first time, because I knew once I said it out loud and people in my life knew, I couldn't do it again because I'd be held accountable, which was ironic because God already knew, so I really already was being held accountable.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just trying to say, like, you guys shouldn't be scared to be open about the things you struggle with, and that no mm-hmm. one's gonna condemn you or yeah. convict you. And when you fall back into sin by accident, you're not some horrible person. Mm-hmm. Like, we have done that as well, and we just want to be there for you. We want to help lead you to God, because he will heal and deliver you from the things that he wants to heal and deliver you from.
Yeah.
God willing.
Yep. And in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Yeah. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He's not going to ever condemn you like that.
Mm-mm.
With any sins you're struggling with.
I love when people say that the devil calls you by your sins, but God calls you by your name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that.
So we just want to pray over you guys for any type of shame or anything binding you to your past. And then we also want to pray for one of our followers on TikTok, who was struggling with a chronic illness. Just to give help, if you guys have any type of prayer request, we'll pray for you on yeah. and off camera as well. But I know specifically with chronic health issues, that's something that a lot of people struggle with, and it's hard because doctors are telling you it'll never go away and you'll suffer forever. And even if, I love this, I always say this, it's like my new word, but even if that's your thorn, like, God will give you peace within that if it's mm-hmm. something that won't go away. But if he wants to deliver you from that, for whatever reason, he will also do that. Mm-hmm. So we just want to give hope to this person and hope to everyone else watching if you need it. Mm-hmm. So
just think about how special you might be that he's allowing you to sit in this or whatever it may look like, because he has called you to be different. Because, yeah, he's healed so many people and they have those same stories that they can tell. But how much special are you that despite him not healing you, you still pray, you still believe, and you yeah. are still following him. Not many people are chosen for that, in a way, you know. Yeah. So,
and I know some people don't like to hear that, especially when they're in the midst of their struggle, but I just wanted to read a verse that I had found the other day, and it's Romans chapter 5 verses 3-4, and it says, not only this, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. Mm. And I just think that's so beautiful, because you need that storm to water the soil so that the plant can grow, and you're gonna blossom into such a beautiful person. You're not going to be sitting and suffering forever. Like, God will use that, and you don't want to identify yourself with your suffering. Identify yourself in Christ, and through that you will get proven character and hope. And I really do think through God, hope will shine through all of your hardships, genuinely. Yeah. As two girls who have been through a lot, yeah. we can confidently say that you will find peace in him.
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and thank you for allowing us to record another episode and to get through, and that you would speak through us again, and that whoever is watching, that it is for a reason that this video came across their page and that they are listening to this by no coincidence. And I just want to pray for whatever struggles that anyone may be dealing with, and that they would know to come to you and come before you and lay it out all at your feet, and just be able to be honest with themselves and with you, that you only want them to just keep you only want them to keep their eyes on you, and that you will take care of the rest, and that no matter what it is, whatever shame, whatever guilt that they're feeling, that it is brought to your attention, and that they know that they are new and they are not what they used to be. They are not their past, that they are a new creation in you, Lord. And I just want to pray for their heart and their mind, that whatever lies the enemy may be making them fix and focus on, that you would remove that in Jesus' name, and that you would just be their light and their guide and all the days of their life, and that they know that they can just rely on you.
God, I just want to pray that anyone who relates to our stories or knows someone who does, God, that this video would fall into their presence, that they would understand that they're not alone, and that you have other children walking through the same thing, that they could be in community with, God, people that would uplift each other, people that would not shame them or push them further into shame, God, but that they know that, like Alyssa said, they can come to you and put it at your feet and cast their worries and suffering onto you, God. I pray anyone in bondage with substances or sexual sin would just be delivered from that, God willing, God. And I just pray that people don't feel trapped where they're at, but that they know that through you they can push forward and be delivered from anything you want them to be, God. And I just want to say a special prayer for one of our followers, God, who's struggling with chronic sinus problems, God, that you would just give them peace, God, whether that's through supernatural healing and deliverance or just through being able to come to you and just have one day of feeling clarity in their disease, God, that the fatigue they're feeling would be gone, that you see the work that they're doing and evangelizing and the love they have for you, and that their faith could heal them, their faith alone could heal them, God, that they could help others struggling with the same thing. And just that I'm glad that you use people who are struggling but still love and trust you, God, so that others can see that suffering does not mean that you do not exist, but it actually proves that you do, God. So I just pray that you give love and peace to this person, God, and that they know that you're watching them and we're out here praying for them, and that they just know people care about them and that they're not fighting this alone.
We say this all in your mighty holy name, Jesus. Amen.
I feel bad. I wanted to pray the blood of Jesus over him, but I did last night, so it's okay.
Yeah. So we're gonna read Psalm 23 to close us out.
The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen.
I love that. I cannot wait to meet David, first of all.
Yeah.
I actually cannot wait.
It's very real.
Yeah.
Too real.
I can't wait to meet all of them, actually. That'd be...
I can't wait to meet Jesus.
My goodness.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, we hope you guys had a really fun time with us today, and we hope that part of the shame was lifted off of your shoulders, and that you could just pray about this and feel some type of deliverance, whatever that looks like for you, and just know that you're not alone.
Yeah. And we are here for you always. You can always reach out on any of our social medias. You could private message us, comment, anything.
Yeah, and we'll pray for you.
Yeah.
If I see your comment, I will stop whatever I'm doing. Even when I get a text from you, when you say pray for me, everything stops. Everything stops. So that same goes for you guys. You're my friends now. So I will pray for you.
Yeah. Kay. We're all family.
Yeah.
All right, well, this was really fun. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
We love you.
But Jesus loves you more. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Have a blessed week.
Yes. Mwah.